Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
And some of us have been going through some pains and some growing pains in our lives, but it's just because we belong to Him, and the God who made everything is working in us. He's working here in this place. He's changing you. Isn't this a change? Isn't this a big change? I mean, I first heard the prophets start talking about change about 1988. I was with Brother Hagin up in Wisconsin. And while we were up there, he was very much apart from people. And he just had such a good time. And he was visited there by three angels. And the three angels spoke to him there. And he heard the first two speak, and they said, change, change, change. Change in the political realm, change in the financial realm. And then the third angel appeared to him, which was bigger than the other two, and it was speaking, but he could not hear a thing it said. However, he was told that the angel would appear again. At camp meeting that year in July, it was June that we were in Wisconsin, we were in July at camp meeting, and at camp meeting, here came those angels. And Brother Hagin saw them. He saw the first one come and speak the same thing. Change in the political realm. Have we seen change in the political realm? Change in the financial realm. Probably things will change this week. Seven heads of state in Houston. Close to a praying bunch. And the third angel appeared there at camp meeting. A gigantic, bigger than the other two. And that angel said, and Brother Hagin told us what the angel said. He was so glad when he saw the angel he could get what it was saying again, because it had been a month since he first saw it and he didn't hear it. And the angel said, change, change, change. The biggest change of all will be in the spiritual realm. Woo! Hallelujah! There's going to be a change inside of you bigger than the Berlin Wall falling. And anything about you that needs to be changed, it might be a painful change, dear brother. Your tummy might hurt, but God will change you. If He started something in you, I believe from this word, He will change you. You might be out in the midst of sin. And we all know that Christians have done it. I'm sorry to say that we've done it. But God will change you. Let go and let Him do it. We used to sing a song, let go and let God have His wonderful way. So you can cooperate with that change. No more time for you to drag your feet. No more time for you to push it off. Just give up and go with the flow. Hallelujah. Float with the stream. It's going to be the only way to go in this hour. You have no pleasure in any other place. Me, I'm a pleasure lover. I love the pleasure of the Holy Ghost. I don't like to be in trouble with God. I've been in trouble with Him. I don't like it. It's fearful to be corrected by Him. I'm glad He corrected me and loved me, but I'd rather just please Him. Wouldn't you? Bless the Lord. It's better for children to please their mother than to have to go through spankings. We had to stop the car the other day, and these two children had to go through the agony of a spanking. Then they got back in the car. And they were better children from that time on. But it'd been so much easier if they'd just been good from the beginning. So I don't like spankings, do you? It proves love, and God will sure do it to you. I know by experience. But I'm going to try to just be good from here on out. Woo! Hallelujah! Acts chapter 17. God said to me, Acts chapter 17, verse 24, God said, the Lord said to me, I want you to see how Paul declared me to those who knew nothing, idol worshipers, governmental leaders of the whole world. Paul said, verse 24, He's the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, and He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He gives to all life and breath and all things, and He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, And he hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. I think I'll read on. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day. It's a moed. It's fixed. We're hurtling toward the date, whatever it is. If we knew it, we could circle it on our calendars and mark off the days like children do to Christmas. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, verse 26 is the particular verse that the Lord spoke to me out of that day. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Verse 26. I'll read it to you here in this one. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. God, who made it all, I always had the feeling ever since I was a little girl that I was born at the right time. I always had the feeling that I was here now because God wanted me here now. And I used to imagine what it would have been like to have been born at another time. I'd think about it, but I couldn't fit in it because I fit in my time. And I'd hear people say, you know, God has decided that you would be here now. But I didn't really have the scriptural basis for it until I came to this scripture and God illuminated for me. We're not leaves in the wind. God has determined our pre-appointed times and the boundaries of our habitations. He's even decided that I should be born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The spirits come from God. And however it works, by his great appointment, I don't know how it works. God is God, not me. But somehow the right spirit came at the right time, to the right mother and daddy, to the right place. And for such a time as this, I believe that I have come to the kingdom. And for such a time as this, you have come to the kingdom. This time that we're approaching and this time that we're in is probably the most important time of this age, the church age. I would have thought that God would have chosen people like Peter and Paul and Mary to be now living. But instead, he chose you and me. And it seems like they were the far great ones, and here we are, you know, just kind of, well, you know, ordinary. We know each other. But we're serving a God who's not ordinary. And probably Peter and Paul felt the same things about themselves. Well, I'm just a fisherman, this and this. But God chose them and God equipped us and God's bringing the work around. As we heard the prophets say change, then the world began to change. I saw the Ayatollah Khomeini die. And God spoke to me when he died. I'm not going to go into all that right now. We'll maybe later on. Then we saw the wall fall. No war. No conference, no international summit was called to draw up papers for the falling of the wall. The wall fell. Brother Hilly told us that he did a television special, and a pastor who knows, and I've heard this also from five East German pastors who were here, they were praying to God that the wall would fall and there would be no bloodshed when it fell. But where do you think they got the idea to pray that now? They got that from God. I don't believe they just decided one day we're going to pray that the wall falls. God moves on people, Holy Ghost people, to begin to pray. And they begin to pray out the one who made it all. They begin to pray out what God ordered to be done. And I know that you're here in this place and that you believe in prayer and that God told you to pray and you to begin. And here you sit. For such a time as this, you've come to the kingdom. And sometimes you can be right in the middle of something. You don't realize what's happening. You can be even lied to by the devil. Oh, this is nothing. This is just normal, natural stuff. But it's not normal, natural stuff. It's very, very super natural. And you're with a supernatural God. This isn't a natural church. This is a supernatural church, born at the right moed. And for such a time as this, you've come to the kingdom. You have to die to the flesh as much as you can. Help God by just killing your old flesh out. Not the old man in your spirit. He's gone, but that flesh. And walk and live. And we're going to have to walk and live in the spirit now. You have to walk and live and follow God. No man has written a book about how to pastor a church in the last days across the street from NASA. Nobody ever did it. But Jesus knows how to do it. And the Holy Ghost knows how to lead you in it. Paul was out on Mars Hill. Oh, such a place that was in the world economy of that day. And here you are in Houston. World economic, if books are being written, and they are, the Bible says that they're still writing books. We'll read those books when we go to heaven. It says that God listens in and writes things down. I used to teach a class at Rhema on publication. I found a lot of books that are still being written, and we're in them. And they may read them during the millennial age. They may read them. God may let them be printed. I don't know. Here's how they made it. Here's how they did it. But whatever, for such a time as this, we have come to the kingdom. And there's no other way for us to look than to our God who made it all, and to our inner selves where He lives and dwells and does a great work. And of course in His Word, by His Spirit. I love the timing of God. I thank God that on our last trip to Israel, we were in the right timing. And I almost missed it. I almost put it off to another date. And thank God for Betty Oak. She wouldn't let me do it. She held my feet to the fire. And she said, no, this is when we're supposed to go, and this is when we're going. So I wanted to have about 40 people, and we only had 27 people. And I thought, you know, if we put it off for a month or two, we can get more, and we'll take 40. But the timing was important. I'm going to read you some from my diary. And I left my real diary at home. I brought the wrong year. I have books, you know, with 1989, 1990, and I brought 1989 instead of 1990. So I had to make up my diary out of my notebook. And I'm going to read this to you. We have to go a day early now to New York because of security. Little Israel, the size of New Jersey, is surrounded by vast lands who do not want them to exist.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.